Welcome, bet riders around the world. My name is Gary Solomon, and you're watching the Laid Back Bike Report. Hey guys, we are so happy to have you with us for this amazing show. We have a lot of stuff going on in this webcast. Let me tell you what is coming up. First of all, as usual, Hans Agalo will be with us via video with the recumbent news. We are then going to be having a rather extensive discussion of bent scams, how you can avoid being taken advantage of mostly online. So we have Steve Erickson with us, who is going to talk to us about a prestige branding scam investigation that he has been carrying out over the last number of years. Our own Doug Davis will be with us with his report on some product scams that you will want to avoid. We have also on video Jonathan Garcia with us to take a first look at the e-Phoenix 406, the e-assisted version, the new one that he had a lot to do with designing. Then we have our pal Tim Siegert from Bent Revolution down in Florida. He is part of our Laid Back Bike Report review team, and he's going to review the HP Velotechnic e-Scorpion 20FS. Really cool review there. Nina Paley will be with us with a couple of pieces. First, she does this really cool review of sunblocks, and she's going to talk about what she went through to replace her seat back on her Tour Easy Long wheelbase. All right, guys, let me introduce you to the crew that I have helping me today, the hardworking people that make the Laid Back Bike Report possible. Some are in the shade under the hat. That's Larry Seidman out in Colorado Springs doing the directing today and also getting a little bit ahead on the sunblock. Larry, how's it going? Yes, unfortunately, Larry doesn't have much to say today, but it's good to have you with us. Also, there you are. Okay, good. Down in Jackson, Mississippi, avoiding the incoming storm, hopefully, it's our media man himself, Trey Burgoyne. Hiya, Trey.
Howdy. Doing great. Got the umbrellas at the ready.
Very good. Hopefully, you don't need those. Alfred Station, New York, is where you'll find the bicycle man himself. It's Peter Stahl. Hello, Peter.
Good afternoon.
It's good to have you with us. Cold Spring, Kentucky, there among the many portraits that look somewhat like him. It's Larry Varney. Hello, Larry.
Howdy, and greetings from Middle Earth.
It's good to have you with us wherever you are. And now down in Big D, Dallas, Texas, the aforementioned Doug Davis. Hello, Doug.
Hey, Gary. I'm not in Middle Earth. I'm in Middle Texas.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing.
Same difference. And,
it could be.
And in the middle of Illinois, which is like no place else, it is. We're very glad to have Nina Paley with us today. Hi, Nina.
Hello.
All righty, guys. All right. So how can you participate in this live webcast? We would really love you to join in on the live chat. It is available to you on Facebook or on YouTube. You can ask questions. You can make comments. You can just chat with our panelists if you like and talk amongst yourselves. There'll be lots of other bent riders on the live chat as well. Let us know where you are watching from today. We love to find that out as well. So please participate in that live chat. Now, how about supporting the Laid Back Bike Report? You guys have always done a great job. We have so many wonderful supporters helping us out in so many ways. here's some of the ways you can do it. You can just like us on YouTube. You can subscribe on YouTube as well. Like us on Facebook. You can hit the little applause button on YouTube as well. And that little white eye that's up there will take you to our website. You can find out lots more about the Laid Back Bike Report there, past shows, what we have coming up, all kinds of stuff. So you can do all those things. And probably most importantly, you can become a Patreon supporter on a monthly basis for as little as $1 a month. And all these guys here with these little orange logos that you see have done that. And we've added a couple more this month. I'm going to tell you about those guys here at the end of the show. So become a Patreon supporter if you would. Another way to help the show is to support our sponsors. Let me tell you about them. First of all, we have TerraCycle, makers of exquisite recumbent parts and accessories for your bent. And Trailside Trikes, a fine recumbent shop on the Withlacoochee Trail in Florida, and now also in Knoxville, Tennessee. And Cruise Bike, designed for the cyclist who wants to ride farther, climb faster, and adventure more. All Cruise Bikes and frame sets ship free in the USA. And TerraTike Greenspeed, the best in leisure, performance, adventure, touring, electric, and portability. Wherever your adventure leads, TerraTrike will take you there. And Greenspeed, where Ian Sims Designs brings performance through science and engineering. And Laid Back Cycles, the top USA dealer for TerraTrike and the premier source for CatTrike, Ice, and Greenspeed. We give you the freedom to ride. And Recumbent CycleCon. Please join us at the 2021 Recumbent CycleCon Trade Show and Convention, which will be held October 9th and 10th at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Dayton, Ohio. More information at recumbentcyclecon.com. All right, on with the show, guys. Let's start out with our pal Hans Zagala, who's going to bring you the news for this month. Now, Hans, he's actually at, I think, his family's cabin. You'll see an amazing, beautiful background. He's going to say the word derailleur. It sounds more like duraler, but it's derailleur. It's important for you to know what he's saying here. So it's a great news report. How about we take a listen, Larry?
Hello, everybody. Hans Zagala from Recumbent.News here. Once again, with a new set of news, Recumbent news for you. Basically, two things. One, the sad one is that the Spezi show in Germany, which was supposed to be organized in September, was canceled due to the uncertainty around the COVID restrictions and related things. Hardys was afraid that there would be not enough visitors coming, not enough exhibitors coming. So he better will do everything possible to organize the show in April next year. So the next show we hope will really be organized is the Recumbent CycleCon in October this year in Denton, Ohio, and I really hope I will be able to see you there if you are planning to come. The other thing is that there were three new delayer or gearing system introduced in last months, or the first one is basically was kind of introduced or patented a year ago. The first one is the SRAM. It's just the patent, but it kind of changes the way we see front delayers. The delayer is not mounted to the frame anymore, but it is part of the chain rings, and it has one little motor, basically three different delayers, little delayers, and battery, of course. The gears are changed by wireless system, so you have just buttons on the handlebar, and then a receiver on the chain ring, and it can change the gears like it would. It is a double chain ring in the front, and but the delayer is not attached to the frame anymore. The second system comes from Belgium company Classified, and their power shift is not part of the, it is not a delayer. It is in the rear hub. So something we are quite familiar with from SRAM dual drive, which was discontinued several years ago, or the Sturmey Archer stuff, which is now used by HP Velotechnic, or ASIP, for example, which is three gears in the hub, and then cassette on it. Same for the power shift. It's just two gears inside the hub and a very special cassette, CNC machined out of one piece of steel. And again, it uses wireless system to change the gear. Unfortunately, it is not really for recumbent riders, as the cassette maximum number of teeth is, I think, 36, so the gear range is slightly over 450 percent, which for most of the recumbent riders is not enough. But maybe they will develop a new system for mountain bikes or urban cyclists, and that may have a wider gear range. And the last one is the new system from Shimano, which is for electric bikes mostly, but also for very powerful riders, or for riders who expect a longer lifetime of their drivetrain. It's called Link Glide. It comes as a variation of the Shimano Diore or Diore XT setup. You can use it with 1x10 or 1x11 gears. And it comes either with 10-speed cassette, which provides 11 to 40... three gears, or 11 to 50, that's 11 gears cassette for the Diora XT. So the teeth on the cassette are wider, the chain is wider, also a delayer is different, and the shifter is also different. So if you would like to upgrade, because Shimano claims the lifetime of the system will be three times longer, at least for the chain and cassette, you need to change the overall system. And I have to say, I have almost forgot two other things. First is that TerraTrike introduced the new Gran Turismo Sport. It is a sportier version of their very popular Gran Turismo model, and it has aluminium frame, 22 speeds, and 20 inch wheels in the front, 24 in the back. And the second thing is that Bacetta sold their trike division back to Carbon Trikes Sweden. We don't have more information about how it will work in the future, where the trikes will be produced, from where they will be shipped, and so on and so on. But we hope to get more information sooner or later. And of course, I will post about it on recumbent.news. So have a great day and have a perfect riding season, which is just coming to the Northern Hemisphere. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Hansa. Very nice. Lots of information in there, especially on those new drivetrains. Kind of interesting stuff. So, all right. One other piece of news to bring you up to date on our pal Jason Dubin, who was on our last webcast, who told you all about his numerous collisions with cars in New York City with his Velomobile. Unbelievably, has been hit once again. A couple of days ago, I chatted with him, and he is okay. A little bit of an injury to his leg and ankle, I guess, but not too horribly bad. But it's just hard to fathom how dangerous it is where he rides. Lots of ways you can look at what he does. But if you're interested in catching his latest 360 video, he's posted it on YouTube. I'll have it in the description below. All right, let's move along to the main theme of today's webcast. We have a segment here with Steve and Patty Erickson. Steve is with us. He'll come on after the video that we did here to answer any of your questions. So watch this video about avoiding this particular kind of recumbent purchasing scam. And if you have questions or comments for Steve, he's with us and he will answer those. So, Larry, let's see the first video. All right. So, Steve and Patty Erickson with us now. We're so glad to have you on the Laid Back Bike Report.
Thanks for having us on, Gary.
It's great to be here.
Super. All right. Well, you're going to talk a little bit, Steve, first of all, about a particular kind of scam that you have been investigating and working on for some time. Tell us a little bit about this, Steve.
Okay, so this is something calling false prestige branding, and it affects, there's different product lines that affects on the web, but the one we're most interested in, of course, is with recumbent trikes. There are some folks who use this to fool people and have them pay a lot of money for trikes that are really cheap. As many as 50%, about a third to 50%, of recumbent trike ads that we see locally, which is, you know, in Dallas or in Houston, Texas, and also on eBay, are actually scam ads. In December 2015, a friend of ours that we knew online purchased, I think it was a Vortritech trike, fake brand, and it was being discussed on Bent Rider Online. Some other people knew about this, knew about particular scammers that were doing this, and it just fascinated me and kind of irritated me that someone could be often doing this and no one was stopping them. And so I went looking up information and I found a whole world of products that some of these same people would be selling online. And the mechanics of it I thought was really interesting. So I wrote a Reddit article on the scam and I continue to update it with fake brand names just to try to let people know. Basically, it's somebody selling cheap $1,000, sub-$1,000 to maybe a little over $1,000 trikes, typically from China, just where they tend to come from. There's inexpensive manufacturing, sold for a lot more money, $3,000 to $10,000. They're false brands. They don't exist. And he claims that they're these prestige British or European brands. And how often does this happen? As I mentioned earlier, about half of the Craigslist ads that I saw from Dallas and Houston, Texas, are scam. And on a particular day, I thought that was about right. And I went out on a particular day and I found that 5 of the 8 ads that were on Craigslist in Dallas were a scam. So it was about half. There was only about a third on the particular day that I checked in Houston. But that's a big number of trikes.
That's a lot.
And then on eBay, I checked. Of course, that's nationwide. So it has even more of an impact. About a third of the recumbent trikes that I saw for sale on that day were scams as well. Why is this an issue? I've had people ask me, it's like, oh, it's okay. Somebody buys a cheap trike and they call it a different brand. They sell it for more money. What's wrong with that? It's not just inventing the brand. It's misrepresenting the entire trike. You're telling it's got a different manufacturer. You're saying it's made somewhere where it's not made. Sometimes you're saying, oh, this is a brand new model. It just came out this year. Or the other way around, oh, I've had this trike for 5 years and it's lightly used and I'm selling it, when really it's just a newly shipped inexpensive trike. And then the worst is it's misrepresenting the history of a brand. You invent a brand and say, oh, we've been the top sellers for 20 years when that has not even been invented as a brand by the scammers until a year or two ago. In the Texas Commerce Code, their business and commerce code, there are actually rules against this. It's specifically designated as a deceptive trade practice. Passing off goods as somebody else, deceiving people about geographic origin, and representing quality as different than what it is, and also attacking other manufacturers, which the scammers do as well. You've got a cheap product. We're creating manufacturer sites and ad sites and fake review websites all around these false prestige brands. And then attacks on the legitimate manufacturers and forums. This whole picture in this little diagram shows the result is an unhappy consumer, because you've gotten excited. You think you're buying this nice, expensive, prestige trike, and you get it, and it's like, oh, well, it's all right, but you find out that you paid 3, 4, 5 times what it's worth, and it gives people a bad experience with trikes. So one example is shown here that was on Craigslist, best third generation ultimate recumbent trike bike bicycle. So supposedly there's a company out there named Ultimate has come out with a best brand. Best is supposed to stand for best engineered super trike. And this is the third generation. And boy, that sounds, oh, $6,000. That must be a really good trike. And so they Google and they say, find some marketing sites. Oh, okay. Well, here's some places that say this is a really nice trike. And they're selling it for $8,000. And I could get it for $6,000. Then they Google a little bit more. They follow the links from the marketing sites and they find some review sites. And people are just raving about this trike. They're, wow, I've never heard of this. It must be like BMW or Mercedes-Benz or something, but it's not very many people buy them, but I'd kind of like to have it. Unfortunately, all of these things are fake. The scammers create the ad, they create the marketing sites, they create the review sites, and there is no such company, there is no such really model trike that's being sold, and it's not from UK, it's from China. So, what if you buy a scam trike? Are they any good? Maybe they can, you know, they could be a good starter trike. It's just you don't really want to pay $5,000 for a $1,000 trike. Nobody does. So do not ever buy this trike. If you see a trike that looks like this and it's kind of distinctive, stay far away from it. It used to be marketed as an A-series trike. Now they're marketing it as something called a Best Model 1. And Patty here has a story about that trike.
Oh, well, that sounds interesting. So, Patty, you have some relationship to this trike. What's the story here?
I worked for a couple of years for John's Trikes and Bikes and as a mechanic. And we had one of these come into the shop. And interestingly, I'd already seen it on Craigslist. And when I saw it on Craigslist, I thought, wow, that looks hideous. But, you know, you don't know until you actually get your hands on one. But there was a local family that it was the husband and wife and their children. And I think it was her father, if I recall correctly, was visiting from North Carolina or somewhere. They decided they were going to buy one of these for him to ride whenever he was visiting with them. They brought it into the shop for adjustment. It brought in and said, well, it doesn't seem to be riding quite as well as what we'd hoped, but, it did say it was used, so maybe you can tinker with it. Well, the thing is, it was not repairable. It was not rideable. It really, truly was, in all honesty, a piece of junk.
It's important to understand how you want to identify that you might be looking at a scam trike. For one thing, when you're looking at used trikes, and it's something over $3,000, there are people who sell some trikes that are worth over $3,000 online. But a lot of trikes are being sold for less than that. Even something somebody bought for $3,500, $4,000, they'll sell for $1,500, $2,000. So if you see something that's over $3,000, do the research, because you might be getting scammed. If it's an unfamiliar brand, if you haven't heard of it, if you're familiar with any brands and you haven't heard of this, check it out. If you're not really familiar with trikes, ask somebody who knows, a friend, somebody at a recumbent forum, or talk to a dealer and say, should I buy this brand? And some of these folks will possibly know about the scams, or they'll say, oh, no, I've never heard of that. And that means you need to do some more risk. If it's a really good trike, if it's a top tier trike, like some of the ads say, people will know about it. You can do some Googling for yourself. If there's only on a few kind of sketchy looking distributor sites, if they can't find a credible manufacturer website, something that really looks like a good website, then maybe it's a scam. And then another thing is you find some review sites. If that review site is only showing you one review at a time and say, you know, okay, I want an earlier or a later review, and it kind of forces you to go through, that's probably because there are only 10 or 12 reviews on the entire site, which is not a real site. So I wrote a detailed Reddit article. If you're interested in finding some more about this scam and how other products are affected and the list of the current brands, the easiest way to get there is you can Google Reddit recumbent scam. And the first thing will come up is this article that I wrote about false prestige branding.
All right, Steve and Patty, thank you so much. We appreciate you coming on the Laid Back Bike Report. Thanks for helping us out today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and let's bring Steve on up here. Steve, let's continue the conversation here and sum up a little bit. I guess the one question that comes to mind after watching that and knowing that you've been at this for a while is, in your estimation, is this something that's getting worse? Is it getting better? Is it still about the same over the years that you've been working at it?
It's staying about the same. I'd say, hear me all right. I've been looking at this for about 5 years, and I'm seeing some of the same sites. The brand names change. It's interesting. These will come up and say, oh, we're the top manufacturer in 20 years, except the one that's in there this year is different than there was 2-3 years ago. I'm still seeing about the same number of trikes being marketed online. I have no way of knowing how many people are buying them, but unfortunately, every year it seems like I hear about somebody in my circle of awareness that says, oh, I haven't heard of this. I think I'm going to bid on this trike. And I try to get on there and say, no, stay away. So it's staying about the same.
Okay. That's great. Now, did you have any updates from what you told us in the video there, or anything you want to say to kind of sum up? What's your best advice for our viewers to put it in a nutshell, to look out for, to protect themselves from these sorts of scams?
Do not buy it if you have not heard about the brand. Just do the research. Don't, especially as is saying in the video, if it's over $3,000, you want to be paying attention. Almost all of the scams, they're going to be trying to charge you $3,000 because they're trying to get as much money as they can. If they're not likely to be scamming you and trying to get just $1,000 or $2,000, they're trying to get $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. So be aware of your brands. Ask an expert if you don't know, and the more it costs, the more time you need to doing research.
All right. Sounds good. Before we move on, any panelists, wave your hands if you have a question. Doug, you've got something? Bring Doug on up, Larry.
Yeah, I was just going to reiterate what Steve says. I mean, we've seen, in fact, I think I've seen that same bike that Patty was talking about in our store a couple of times now, and they're junk. The problem with these prestige vendors is they're convincing. Otherwise, they wouldn't be out there doing it. So any bike that you've not heard of, especially if you're new and you're just starting out, go find a recumbent shop somewhere and talk to them. Look at the brands they have on their shelves. Look at what they're selling. Look at what the other shops are selling. and go to a dealer's website, look at, you know, and by that time you'll get a list of all the legitimate brands out there because the stores are all selling them. At that point, then you can go back and look at whatever you've seen and say, did I see this at a dealer's shop? Is this legitimate brand? And then the other way to do this is look for things on the website that are a little odd. Phone numbers, call them. If there's a phone number on there, pick it up and call them. Ask questions. If they don't know the bike, they don't know how to talk about bikes, then that's a good sign. You can also look at the registration information on the website. There's lots of tools out there for that. Find out how old it is. If they say they've been in the business 20 years and their website's less than a year old, that's probably a red flag.
So do your homework, right? And ask good questions. If you ask good questions of a legitimate seller, whether it's brick and mortar or online, they're going to have answers that sound like they're responsive to your questions. Sounds like that's what we're saying. Anybody else? Wave your hands. Nina, did you wave your hand? Peter's waving. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, I was looking on eBay today, and I found a trike for sale that I've never heard of, and it was expensive. And it said, due to the virus and limited supplies, like most trike dealers, we've had to triple our prices or double our prices. I'm like, yeah, right. No, I haven't. Prices went up maybe 10% or something, but no, we haven't seen any doubling of prices. So you don't need to do that. And recently I saw a bike that was listed and it was an exotic racing Italian recumbent. Well, I have two of them in my collection right up here on the ceiling, and they're made in the Northwest, and they're not fast at all, but they're really neat, but no, they're not any of that. Nope. So, yeah, it's out there, though. You know, I went just getting ready for this. I went on eBay, and I looked at recumbent trike, and I had it sort by starting with the most expensive, and it was like, oh, my gosh, that's ridiculous. Yeah, $10,000, you know. It's ridiculous.
eBay right now, I did the same thing. You look at the sort from the top to bottom of eBay, I think the first three pages are scams.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You know, I was going to ask about how common they are. Nina, you have a question first. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know about, I mean, I will join. I don't have a specific question, but I have opinions.
Yeah. Please. Of course.
No. Yeah, I mean, I buy all of my bikes used, and this is interesting to me that people... No, I mean, it seems like they're really preying on people that really don't know about recumbents, because all of these things that I've seen, it's like, of course I know what kind of recumbents, you know, of course I know like the brand, the legit brands, because I'm an obsessive nerd and, you know, read Laid Back Bike Report. And even on Craigslist, like every time I see a new and intriguing bike, I'm like, oh, what is that? And I just immediately Google it and I see if people have discussed it on Bent Rider Online and on other forums. And I mean, I think it has a lot more to do with just knowing how to navigate the web rather than anything specific to bikes. Because anytime
you
know, I
Nina, anything, while I have you, because you're probably a good one to ask about this. So Cher is asking, why are we picking heavily on the trike community? So Cher, good question. And this is not to say that trikes are the only products that have problems with this. And Nina, you have bought a number of bikes, recumbent bikes online too. So tell us about your
The reason experience. They're picking on trikes is think about the demographic to whom trikes are sold. It's people who are a little bit older than people in that demographic have a lot less net skills because of when the net became a predominant place to buy and sell things. So really what they're preying on is older people who, you know, it's not the first thing they think of is not Googling something that they see for sale. If you're younger, then of course you're going to do that. But if you're older, you're not. And that's, you know, that's the main demographic to whom trikes are sold. That's the likeliest people that are going to be shopping for one.
Okay. And Cher, also to let you know, so I'll let you go in a second, Steve. Yeah, we are also going to be talking to Doug about other sorts of products, not just bikes or trikes too. But I know Cher, who runs the Facebook recumbent bike Facebook page, has a special interest in bikes, not so much always trikes, and it's a good point. So, Steve, go ahead. What were you going to say about this relationship here?
I think part of the reason also is there's just so much money to be made. If you and the other products that I've seen, not as many of them are something that you can go out and buy for $1,000 and then try to market for $5,000. And so if he even only gets, if they only get one of these sold, they've still made, you know, $4,000. That's a big profit margin. And then the other comment I wanted to make is the other thing to look for is in the ads, they're really aggressive on the marketing and they'll say, oh, this is the best thing ever. This is better than anything else out there that you're going to find. And don't you dare spend less than $3,000 on a trike or you're going to get junk. And so it's look for that aggressive marketing and yeah, they're doing it with trikes because they can make a lot of money on it.
Okay. So one of the questions, go ahead, Peter, go ahead.
Another thing is that the recumbent trikes, there aren't very many real dealers that stock inventory. And probably, what, most of the people in the country are more than 100 miles from a stocking dealer. So, and those people want one, but they've never ridden one. And they think 100 miles is a long way. It is. So, you know, they all look pretty similar in a picture. And I know the dealer I was looking at had $5,000 bikes, so this one's, you know, $4,500. I guess that's reasonable, and I don't have to drive for it. Well, yeah, but it's a $800 or $1,000 trike. So then, sure. And there, a lot of these people are first time buyers. I mean, how many people come into our shop that have had trikes before and want to get a different trike? Yeah, it happens, but I would say the majority have never owned a trike before. So they're
Here's where I want to go with this next. So it does. I was asking about the frequency, and it does, from what I'm seeing from our live chat and from you guys, it does seem, especially if you're looking at eBay and you're looking at Craigslist, that it's pretty much a hotbed of scamming. You have to be not that you can't find anything, but you have to be extra careful. What about asking the question about where would be a safer place? So I'm going to ask about Bent Rider Online. I'm going to ask about Facebook Recumbents Classified sections. Now, you can be scammed anywhere, but I get the impression that that those two places, for instance, tend to be a little more vetted and by moderation and maybe a safer bet if you're going to buy online. Now, of course, we're always recommending you go to a dealer, but as Peter says, that's not always possible. So, who wants to chime in here about Bent Rider Online or on Facebook Classified?
Go ahead.
Well, let's let Larry start since he does have some association with, I believe, with one of those.
Yeah, vaguely. I'm going to say with Bent Rider Online, you've got not only, you know, some new users coming in, but some old users that are familiar, and they are not very hesitant about offering their opinion when somebody offers something up for sale. Though sometimes they'll jump in and say, oh, that's too high a price, or God, that's not very much at all. And then sometimes we have to warn them that the for sale section is not for discussion. But that doesn't mean that they don't send private messages to people that seem interested and say, hey, be wary of this. But then also we've got the moderators, and there are several, that have been around for a long time, and they can spot scams, bad prices, whatever. They've become very instinctual about a lot of these things. Some of us started out pretty new and risked being scammed. I know I'm one of them. My second recumbent two-wheeler, I bought from somebody I didn't know, but I'd seen him posting before, way out in, I don't know, the West Coast somewhere. Bought a V-Rex from him. Send him, I don't know, $900 and all that. And luckily, it was a legitimate deal, so I lucked out. But yeah, the moderators help. The knowledgeable users are only too happy to offer their opinion. So it's kind of like going into a store with a bunch of people standing around in the background behind you, that if you want to ask their opinion, they'll tell you. And sometimes they'll tell you even if you haven't asked. So Bent Rider is a good place to buy.
And Larry, to be complete on this, there's you have to join, or is there a fee or something?
Yeah.
Let's be clear about this. What's the process?
Yeah, to sell a bike or trike, you have to become a quote member, and that means that there's a fee involved. It's not a hideously big fee, something like $40 or something like that. Might even be less than that now. It's been a while since I've joined. But yeah, it's not a case where, and we do get it occasionally, where somebody has just logged in for the first time, became a registered user, but not a member. They haven't paid a fee. And so they'll start, you know, advertising right. things, and we get a little skittish, or else they're trying to skim by a little bit and say, oh, out here on something, a local ad or something like that. So it's not really advertised there on BitWriter, you know, so they think they don't have to pay a fee. So yeah, we try to, I don't know, charging the fee is going to cause the cheap scammers to stay away a little bit, hopefully.
Hopefully so. Okay. And Nina, you had something to add.
Yeah. I mean, I've bought and sold bikes on BentRider as well as Facebook groups. And of course, I've had excellent luck. I have not been scammed yet, but I apparently know a lot about recumbents now due to being obsessive about them. I do think that calling the seller is always part of the process, right? Like you look at a bike, and you know, you think about it, and once you're ready to go further, you reach out, you email, but at some point you call them, and that is usually very revealing. And you know, I can also, I think, smell. There have been some offers and some interactions where just like the email was like really weird, and I just dropped it and didn't respond to the person. But I've got really fantastic bikes.
All right, let's flip this around just a little bit and talk about if you are selling a recumbent. So the same platforms are available to everyone. Do any of you have some advice on the best procedures for selling a used recumbent?
Wash it, clean it up, take lots of pictures. Take tons of pictures, more pictures than you ever thought you would ever take before, of every detail you can on the bike.
And where would you put it, Doug? Where
I use BentRider more than anything else when we sell used bikes, and it works. Okay. We've paid the fee a long time ago, like Larry. We joined a long time ago, and we put everything out there. Occasionally we put new bikes, but mostly we put our consignment used bikes, and it works. And people there are... you have community vetting, which is the nicest way to say it. When you put something out there that's more than the market wants to bear, you get some opinions. But you also get a lot of feedback, too. So sometimes recumbents are hard to price because you don't have, like, I got a used Q45, you know, cruise bike. And there might be one or two of those moved a year, so it's hard to figure out what they're worth. And so that's a good place to put a bunch of pictures and do it, you know, and get community input on what they're worth as well.
Okay. And Peter, I know that you still do sell bikes on consignment as well. Do you not? And so now this is not an option for everyone. And if you're not reasonably close to a bike shop that does this, but what's that process like? How do you go about that?
Well, if somebody, typically they contact us by email, or they may walk in the door trying to trade a bike for a trike, has happened sometimes, or get a better bike or a better trike. And so we take it on consignment. We give them 60% of the sale price. We take the sale price, we subtract any work we have to do to the bike so that we can feel good about selling it, because it's going to be our name that's on that bike when it leaves here, no matter who actually owns it. Then when it sells, we give them 60% of that. We sold one Saturday for somebody. But we've bought bikes online too, particularly collectible bikes. You know, you have to be cautious. Definitely. They're, you know, especially with collectible bikes. Well, what's the condition? It may be unusual, but the condition could be rotten, and pictures sometimes don't show it. You know, people will send in pictures of something. It's like, it's hanging upside down in the back of the garage and the light's not very good, but I took a couple pictures and they're upside down and they're in the shade, and really, I see a wheel there. It's blue, isn't it? I think it's blue. No, come on. I need to take it out in the sunshine. Get some good lighting on this thing.
Okay, Nina, go ahead. Tell us about your experience.
So a couple years ago, I really wanted a Fold Rush. And I was looking everywhere for one. I used something called Search All Craigslist. So anyone on any Craigslist anywhere, if they're selling one. And I found one in Austin, Texas. But I was like, how am I going to get this bike? And I need somebody to vet this bike. And so I found a bike shop in Austin, Texas, and just offered some money to just go and check the bike. And then, you know, also pack and ship the bike. So they went and retrieved it and made sure it was good. And I got, you know, reports from the person. I think there was like a live phone call. So you can find sometimes an agent, you know, for a small fee, you can pay a professional agent in whatever location you are trying to get a bike and make sure that way. Because the seller was kind of weird of this bike, but I got a great bike.
Very nice. All right. Wayne Honey has an extensive comment here. I live too far from any dealers, and so I've been very patient and diligent at buying used via Craigslist. I, too, have been very lucky and have purchased a total of five, only one from a bicycle shop, someplace called the Bicycle Man, apparently. I've had to buy first and then experience the bike. I gave one to my son after finding that I was just too short for it and sold another after a year, after realizing that I just didn't like it very much. Hi, Bonnebracket. I mean, that's, as long as you don't get scammed, that is an option if you are buying and selling online, is you can resell it, I guess, and keep trying. A lot of people do that, right? So
there's no dealer anywhere near me. So it's just been buy and try, and that's why I've ended up selling. Yeah,
that's
so many similar, bikes.
And you can do that. Steve, go ahead.
Other possibilities that hadn't been mentioned, of course, is there are local enthusiast groups, and you can find out about them in like North Texas. There's Bent Enthusiasts of North Texas. And then there are Facebook groups, and you can, there are people will buy and sell to those, and that's a good thing to do. But as mentioned, Craigslist is fine. You can find some really good deals on Craigslist. You just have to be careful.
Very good. All right, Tom H. says, how fast do new trikes depreciate in value over time? There's a good question. Doug or Peter?
Right now, no bike is depreciating. They're all right now, the bike pandemic has changed the equation. You can usually expect a fairly linear depreciation on bikes and trikes, depending on how well they're taken care of, to a point, usually probably 70% of their problem value after about 3-4 years. After that, they pretty flatten out. Nowadays, you know, we're seeing trikes sold for retail as used because they're the only trike you can get. And somebody needs one or somebody wants one bad enough to buy a used one at retail because the dealers simply don't have them. And the wait time for new ones is months.
Yeah. And another thing is you can always, if you get a nice enough deal, use the components off of it for something else. If not, you know, it's hard as it is to get components right now.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
So exactly. So yeah, I want to thank you, Doug. We do need to move on, and we're going to talk about those scams of componentry and such. So I think we need to wrap this up. Here we go. Mile High Triker Greg says, always do your research before making a purchase, which is, that's kind of what we're doing. Steve, you have final thoughts?
I love all the feedback back here. I like the idea of getting a trike shop to vet the Craigslist ad for you from a distance. I'd never thought of that or heard of that. I thought that was a great suggestion. But like everyone else is saying, just do your research.
Do your research. Okay, that seems to make a lot of sense. Guys, I think we're going to move along. So, Steve, thank you so much. And thank Patty for me as well for coming on the Laid Back Bike Report. We sure appreciate it. You can stick around for the rest of the show if you like, but we're happy to have you on. Appreciate it.
Enjoyed it.
All right. All right, Larry, if you put everybody else backstage except for Doug and me, and we will move on to the next segment. So we've talked about the bikes and the trikes. Well, what about accessories and add-ons and those sorts of things? Is there a way you can get scammed on those? Oh, yes. Yeah. And here's the guy that's going to tell you about it. Are we ready with the slideshow here? Let's pop up that first slide if we could. And Doug, go ahead and take it away.
So I want to talk about the legitimate parts or counterfeit parts industry or legitimate parts. Go ahead in the second slide. So right now we are in a bicycle pandemic and the scammers are out taking advantage of it. There's a picture on this slide of two derailleurs. One of these is a fake and one of these is a real one. Take really good looks. They're hard to tell apart, but as soon as you put them on your bike, the fake one's going to fall apart. Go ahead, next slide. There we go. There are really two groups out here that are scamming today. There's these factories that are making the illicit goods. They're usually a separate class than the vendors who are out there selling them. And they're out in the marketplaces. Amazon is bad. eBay is bad. AliExpress is terrible. They're just littered with this stuff. Go ahead, next slide. Out there. When we see these things out in these marketplaces, there used to be kind of a quality of legitimate parts where they were overstock or they were vectored parts. And what that means is a manufacturer of a bike might own order 100 Shimano derailleurs, but they might only build 70 bikes. That means there's 25 derailleurs sitting off to the side. Somebody says, "Hey boss, can I sell these on eBay?" The boss says, "Yes," off they go. That happens in the gray market. We don't see that so much right now because everybody needs parts. Everybody, all these manufacturers are in waiting lines to get parts from the parts manufacturers. So that brings in the next couple of versions of this, which are legitimate designs that are outside the brand's control. In other words, they've been made on the third shift or the midnight shift, or somebody's building them like that, and this is really common. They're the brand's own stuff that didn't pass QA. So that stuff is supposed to get destroyed. Sometimes it gets put in a box and walked out the back door. The other thing that happens right now is there's a second line product. Somebody has got a machine or they use the old injection molding machine and they build the parts that were sort of like what's legitimate out there, but they're not. More common now, and you see any more, we'll show some pictures of this in a minute, are the reverse engineered. They take a picture of it, they see one, they get hold of one, or they're just outright fakes. They're a derailleur or a component to a bike that's a complete fabrication. It's not even remotely close. And even sometimes they'll have different brand names on them that are close enough to where if you're not paying attention, you're not going to get what you thought. Go to the next slide. Let's look at that. Spotting fakes is hard. There's a picture of these two boxes here. One of these was a fake and one of these wasn't. The fake one is on the right and the logo is missing. In China, there's just a little bit of intellectual property protection, and it has to do with logos. And so a lot of times you can figure out if something's fake by looking for registered trademarks or registered logos. If they're missing, that's a good sign they're fake. So in this particular case, Shimano has their brand and all this other kind of stuff. Those are words. Even the fonts are not protectable. So you can see a very easy Shimano fake right there. But that little bitty logo for the Hypro system is missing because that was protected. So this particular seller didn't use it because he didn't want the brand police, which are out there combing Amazon and combing Alibaba and AliExpress and DHgate and all these systems. They didn't want them to find that. In fact, there's software that will look for these logos and look for things like that. And so they didn't want to get caught. Go to the next slide. How you spot a fake, if you can see it, a lot of times the moldings are rough. The text is printed, not molded in. Almost all good legitimate stuff, the text will be molded into the plastic instead of just spray painted on there. They have sloppy tolerances. This particular derailleur system, you can, if you were to get it in your hand, you would know you can wiggle the parts and they literally wiggle around. And they have sharp edges. You can feel them. They're not buffed off. And the guide posts on them, where like the numbers don't quite line up. So if you have an index derailleur that has numbers on them, a lot of times you won't be able to, the little indicator inside the thing will not quite line up against the numbers. And the brand manufactured systems, these guys pick a lot of time on that, but you can see on this one, it doesn't quite line up. Go ahead to the next slide here. Look at, when you're looking at something online, look at the origin. So if you're looking at a particular part on Amazon as a good example, look at where it's coming from. And a good indication of this is the ship date. And there's a very last slide we're going to talk about something important about this. But for right now, look at the shipping date. If the product is there, it says Amazon Prime, free shipping, and then it's and you're sitting in March and it says delivery in July, it's probably coming out of China. And that should be a warning that you're maybe not getting what you think you're going to get. Then there's fakes outside this or outside the marketplace, meaning if you look at the store, and Amazon's a good thing, it's got a store. You click on that, and it's not the legitimate Shimano store; it's something else. And then more importantly, they'll have a website outside there. So Shimano, you can go to Shimano's original website. You can find it very easily, and you can look and see who's an authorized reseller of Shimano parts. You can look them up. You can find me. You can find Peter. You can find anybody who's got a Shimano agreement. If the guy's out there in the marketplace isn't listed, it says you know Frankenstein's Bikes. And you go to the Shimano website and Frankenstein's Bikes not listed as a dealer, you might be getting something that's a little sketchy. Try the phone number. If you've got a phone number on there, then call them, see if it works. Send them email, see if it works. A lot of times they'll have an answering service, and it'll be a very obvious, because it'd be heavily accented English, that it's a scammer. Or they won't even have a working phone number. It'll just go straight to the mailbox is full message, or you'll get a generic Audex, please leave your message kind of thing. It won't be a welcome to Shimano, we're the greatest, things out here. It won't have any advertisement. It'll be just a very basic system. Go ahead and go to the next slide here. In the bike and in the trike industry, you can see stuff like this. It says, contact us for color. And it's really interesting. You see this more on the bike side than you do in the trike side, because recumbents typically aren't as customized as these things. But you'll see messages that'll say, buy these handlebars, contacts for color and graphics. Why they do that is what we said before, is because of those logos. They'll tell you it's a Specialized, or they'll tell you it's a TerraCycle, or they'll tell you it's this on the listing, but it won't say that on the product. And they'll say, contact us, we'll put whatever logo you want on there. And they're trying to do this to evade that software that scans for those logos to be used. You get a bunch, and Amazon and AliExpress are really good for this. You get a lot of, oh, great, this part was wonderful, it came fast, the seller was wonderful to deal with. You can see this all the time. You get 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 reviews right in a row. Use something like FakeSpot. Point the product at it. FakeSpot's a free piece of software out there which goes through and analyzes the reviews. And it will tell you if it sees them, because these scammers that build these things will go through and they will use the same words over and over again on different products. You won't see that because you're not going to look at the washer and dryer or the light bulbs or anything like that. You're just looking at the bike parts. But these software packages will have developed a database on all these reviews, and FakeSpot uses them and says, I've seen this review on this bike part, the same words were used over here on the washer and dryer, the same words were used on the light bulb, the same words were used on the screwdriver. So this is probably not a valid review. And so it's a good tool to see if the reviews you're reading are real or not. And then the last thing on this is, you'll see some of these guys will put words like, I'm a preferred seller, I'm a legitimate verified vendor, in the context of the product description. There's no guarantee that it's meaningless. Unless you can find them on the brand's website, they're not legit. Next slide. And then on that, when you go to the brand, look at you're seeing there, because you'll see, if you see the same store again, go into the marketplace, and you see a bunch of Shimano parts and a bunch of Shimeg parts and a bunch of Sunrace and a bunch of a Racer Sun and a bunch of other things, probably not legit, because they're not going to be selling oddball, never heard of stuff with legitimate stuff. And the last thing on this one is, most recumbent brands, virtually all recumbent brands, and most bike brands don't allow marketplace sales. So you're not going to find ice trike on Amazon. You're not going to find it on AliExpress. You're not going to find these things there. If you do see that, that's a huge red flag, because everybody's dealer agreement says something like you can't sell on a marketplace. You have to sell it on your own website, and that's the only place you're allowed to do it. So if you're looking at it, you're looking at somebody's website who's a legitimate bicycle shop, you can pick up the phone and you can call them, and they answer the phone, they say Bob's Bikes, then you're in good shape. That's pretty much their yeah, there's the, you know, it's Michael Smith just points out there are some original manufacturer part verifications. Some of the systems, you can type in the serial number of the part and see if it matches a released lot. Thank you, Michael. Yeah, thanks, Michael. Go ahead to the next slide. There's a bunch of checks that we're going to go through here. The making sense check here is a brand new VTX frame set is never going to be $500. Don't be taken by the deal. That's just a spin rational thinking. This is true for everything. There's a pandemic out here. Everybody has heard about this by now. The bicycles, there's a legitimate shortage out there. Guys in this space, myself, I'm sure Peter can chime in at some point in a minute. We spend hours scouring our B2B systems to find parts for people. And you know, that's our business. That's how we make a living. We're not going to tell, the last thing I ever want to tell a customer is I can't find your part. I don't want to do that. And then if you're the customer and you jump online and you go and you look at Amazon and you see your part, I've already looked and I've rejected it for some reason or another, because I'll tell a customer, hey, I can't get your part through my systems, but I can buy it on Amazon. It's legit. Let me just get it for you and we can put it in and you just pay me what I paid Amazon. That's how bike shops work these days when they can't find parts. But if you found it on a marketplace and I didn't find it on a marketplace, either I really didn't do all the job that well, and I'd be highly doubtful, or there's something about it. And I've had a lot of customers of my own come in here and they'll have their smartphone and they'll say, hey, Doug, I found my part right here. And I'll say, okay, let's zoom up and let's look. And we look at it. And then sure enough, there's one of the signs, there's missing a logo or something like that. And you know, it turns out to be fake. It happens fairly, not as much this year because the supplies aren't as shallow as they were, but it happened a lot last fall when everybody was really, was really, really short on stuff. Go ahead to the next slide. Some fakes are incredibly easy to spot. We put some samples in here. And again, you know, you can see the names are silly. You can see them in the pictures. And this is something else you need to look at real carefully. This is eBay stuff. You can get on eBay and you can look, and it'll say Shimano, 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 Shimano. And then you look at the picture and it's Shimeg or something like that. And these are some, you know, so you look very carefully at everything you see. Look at all the pictures, zoom up on them, look at every single thing you can find, and be careful with it. And then look at the real part, from the brand's website and see if you can spot the difference. Go to the next slide. And then we back to our very first one. The one on the left was the fake one. The hanger bolt was zinc. Usually they're stainless. The logo was painted on. If you look at the adjustment screws, they were the wrong kind. In this particular level of product, they're an Allen wrench. These were Phillips head screws. So there's a lot of stuff you can see that are different in the way these was made. You can actually see that the cutouts are different, the way the metal was built. But that's a pretty hard one to spot unless you really are in this space and know what you're seeing every day. And go ahead to the next slide. I said this a second ago. I'll reiterate it again. Everybody's supplies are limited. No one in this space really needs to discount to move product. I can't keep parts on the shelf at all. No bike store can keep this anywhere. I mean, you know, I'll get 7-speed derailleurs in by the truckload. They'll be gone next weekend. I'll get another group in. They'll be gone next weekend. I'm not going to be putting a 50% off sale on 7-speed derailleurs because I wouldn't do me any good. I'm still selling the things. So use your sense. If you see a deal that's too good to be true, you know, somebody's got some shifters or derailleurs and they're really discounted, it's too good to be true, use some sense there. You may be getting a deal, but you may be getting scammed just as easily. Go into the next one here. I think we're at the last page, and this is important on the marketplaces, and I said this early on, and I'm going to spend a couple of seconds here. The USA and other countries, Europeans have got even more than we do, have very strict product regulations about safety. CFR 16.512 is bicycles and supplies to retailers and manufacturers. A part that is imported does not have to meet these safety standards and may not meet these safety standards. There is no law or regulation today that holds marketplaces accountable for the product quality. The closest we've ever had was a California bill, AB 3262, that was an attempt to make Amazon liable for its product quality. Well, Amazon argues that it's just a middleman. It doesn't do anything to the product. It's not part of the supply chain. That is still being debated out there. Bulger versus Amazon is in appeal over this very issue. This isn't a bike-related issue, but it's probably going to be the precedent-setting case. This is on a piece of electronic equipment that caught fire. And Amazon says, nah, I'm not part of the supply chain. I got nothing to do with this. I just hooked this guy up with this guy. We just okay. And the Bulger side of the case argues, well, you it was stored in your warehouse. You imported it under your license. You carried it through the supply chain. You sold it. You control the communications with the customer. You get a piece of this. And so that was awarded to Bulger. It went into appeal. It was again awarded to Bulger. And now it's an appeal to the Supreme Court, and we're waiting to see how that happens.
All right. Well, I love that you took the discussion all the way up to the Supreme Court. So that's a great way to finish. Thank you, Doug. That's great information. Good pictures there too. Just briefly here, want to finish up. I especially did want to hear from Peter. I know you work with these add-ons components every day. Do you have some something to say about this as well, Peter?
Well, he's got a real good point there, Doug does, that nobody's discounting anything right now. I mean, there's no need. We ordered a bunch of trikes and they said they could ship them. We ordered in November. They said they could ship in August, but they wouldn't have tires and tubes and brakes and derailleurs. So I spent $8,000 or $9,000 and got a bunch of tires and tubes and brakes and derailleurs. And then a couple weeks ago, I got an email saying, oh, we won't have chains either. So I got a quarter ton of chain. So, you know, we're good to go when the bikes get here, but nobody's discounting stuff because the whole market is empty. The pipeline's dry. You're not, you know, nobody's overstocked on anything. If they are, call me, right? We'll fix that. But I don't think anybody's overstocked on anything.
Did you have to pay much more than you would have a year or two ago for all those parts, Peter?
No, I didn't. You did all right. You know, the prices have gone up a little bit, but not dramatically. Of course, I usually don't buy a quarter ton of chains at a time, so I get free shipping on that. The UPS guy hates me.
You should see when we buy tires and they have to bring those in. It's hysterical. Right. It's hysterical. All right.
You know,
good guys. Anything else?
A tractor trailer will bot back into the parking lot, and one of my employees will say, "What have you done now?"
Yeah, go ahead, Nina.
Okay, so I actually bought a lot of parts online last year because the local bike shop that a friend of mine runs, he couldn't get anything from any of his distributors. They had no parts, and I really needed parts. So I do want to say that, yes, there are fakes, but there's also knockoffs, and I am a fan of knockoffs. There's a Shimano knockoff brand called MicroShift. I've had pretty decent luck with MicroShift.
Oh, no, MicroShift's legit.
Yeah.
I guess we need to be careful how we define these things.
Yeah, they're not a knockoff at all. I wouldn't call them that. They are absolutely legit.
Yeah. So I was able to get some unless I got fake MicroShift stuff, but my MicroShift stuff is pretty nice. And also used components. I bought some used components. also some new old stock components. So the stuff can be found, but of course it's rare. So it's not like, you know, my techniques are scalable because there's just, like they say, not enough stuff out there. But I did do more or less okay doing that.
There you go. And it's an important point, Nina. So because we've spent a lot of time here today warning our viewers about what could happen, but you can come out okay. Use the common sense, do what we've been saying, and you can still buy online and you can do it safely. Go to your dealers. You can, of course, do it safely there. So there are options. Keep your eyes open, I guess, is the key here.
And you also acknowledge you're taking a risk, right? Like, I acknowledged I was taking a risk, but I really wanted to ride my bike. So it was a risk I was willing to, it's like, what am I going to do? Just sit here for another year? No, I'm going to try this stuff. Like, even if it is fake, but you know, I got decent stuff. And again, used component. There is actually a motivation for people to sell used components, even though.
For sure.
I have some used components I would sell if I had the patience to catalog them and put them on eBay.
Well, there is the task for you for the next month. You can give us an update on how you did next month, Nina. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Doug, thank you for putting that presentation together. We appreciate it. And Larry, if you send everyone else back here, we're going to move on here to our next segment. This is a video that Jonathan Garcia put together for us a couple of months ago. We talked briefly about the E-Phoenix from RANS, but we didn't actually get the video on, and I really wanted to share this with you because it's a great video giving us a good look at this new product that Jonathan helped to design. So, Larry, when you're ready, let's take a look at the E-Phoenix.
I'm Jonathan Garcia. I'm here to show you the new Phoenix 406 electric bike. Electric recumbent bike, and I wanted to share a little bit about the history of it and also the features of it. But this is, we think, the very first recumbent electric recumbent that's designed from the ground up. And how this differs from a kit, I'll show you when we come a little closer. But basically, we started with the Phoenix 700, which is here. This was conceived of 3 years ago, and even during that period of time we were talking about a 406 version because we knew that was going to be an important part of the market. The 406 version kind of morphed into this electric as electric became more popular, and so the very first offering is going to be an electric version, and then we hope to have an acoustic version after. So let's go over a couple things here. So the Phoenix, long wheelbase bike, fairly low bottom bracket. We really worked on the ergonomics of it. This is a standard size. This is a production sample, and it's a standard size. So this will fit from a 35X seam to about a 44.5. So it has a wide range. We hope to have two models, and the larger model will fit someone up to about 6'4", I'm guessing. But basically, it's about 4 inches longer than this one. The main thing I want everyone to see is ergonomically is that it's made to have a very powerful pedaling position over the top, but also have this wonderful handlebar position that is low, my shoulders are relaxed. It also has almost zero tiller. Now in the 700C version, it's gonna have a little tiller just because of the wheel size. But on this one, we were able to lower that. You can see how low the bars are, but I still have clearance. I'm not quite at the top of the stroke, but this is excellent clearance on a short wheelbase for turning ability. Also a wide range of adjustment with the RAN style seat. We have the adjustments here in the angle, and then we have the quick adjust, of course, down here, which is a V clamp. So all that adds up to a very upright position, relaxed. I can easily see over the fairing, so it's not up in my face. But I think that's going to work for a lot of people, especially in the standard. It's going to work for the smaller people that have had trouble fitting a recumbent. One thing I want to point out, too, is we really worked on the front end design. The head angle and fork is made so that there's absolute control over any kind of condition. This is not a bike that slides out in the front like a lot of long wheelbase do. The other thing is, unlike a Tour Easy, this has actually a higher bottom bracket, even though the relationship is similar in the seat to the crank height. This bottom bracket is high enough that you can go around any corner and you're never going to hit the pedals. And these are 170 cranks on that. Now let's talk about particular features. On this bike, the production version will have an 11 speed like this does. It will also have in production a through axle. This is the sample, which has just a regular quick release. We're hoping for a front through axle in the fork. And those are really the main production changes from this particular bike. There'll be places for four water bottles. You can see the eyelets here. We always put those on the Phoenix 700, but that's the energy bar. It allows two water bottle mounts there, and then, of course, two behind the seat here. So you have the ability to carry four bottles. Of course, it'll take a rack. It already has rack mounts. It'll take a fender. That's a fender eyelet right there. It's designed for a double kickstand, which makes it very stable. You can actually even raise it up higher than that if you want. You can. It's easy to change a flat even on the road. The other differences, or the other things to point out, are this. Someone asked about this online. So this allows access to the inside internal routing. You'll notice there's a difference between this and the 700 one in the background, and that's kind of a cleaner, sweeter setup, but that won't allow internal routing that has this long cable run. So you'll see right here, this is the cable coming out for the speed sensor here, and then the cable right here, which is the rear brake cable, comes out of the frame there. That's probably never been done on a long wheelbase either. Now I want to show up front where this comes in. So you can see all the cables going inside, and of course they travel down inside this tube. The other advantage here is, especially with these long wheelbase bikes in general, but on the Phoenix specifically, we also worked very hard to have only one idler, and this is a return idler. And there are some Phoenix 700 riders that don't run idler at all. I like the idler just in case you hit some of the bumps. This chain doesn't come bouncing up and get caught up on anything. But as far as resistance, there's almost zero there, which is great. You don't always have that. The other thing that we really had to analyze and what we wanted, one of the design criteria, was to have the battery and the motor very close together to give a low center of gravity. That's the advantage that this bike has over anything or any type of kit you can put on. And we kind of found this out putting motors on the 700 Phoenix, the kit motors on those. And we also know from installing on Tour Easies that when the battery's over here, the weight puts too much weight over the wheel, and then you have to contend with that. It doesn't have the same predictable handling. So this has the weight and the mass down low, and it works excellent. It also makes it very easy to pedal with the motor off. So this has... this has the ability to ride without the motor. People always ask that. The other thing is, this was a extra fairing we had here. We're experimenting to see what will work, and hopefully we'll have eyelets. We do have a system for the top. They're called antlers, but they weren't ready for production yet. So this has an old school Easy Racer setup. And down below, we're hoping to have eyelets for the lower mount. Now, one of the things that we learned about the Phoenix 700 was it does best with the short fairing because you can't cover the cranks. With this bike, you can physically cover the cranks down below, so it makes sense to have a full fairing. And it, you know, of course, gives it the protection, a little more aerodynamics. Now, the motor itself, I'd like to address if we come around here. So it's a Befang M400 motor. It's a 36 volt. It is 350 watts. And this is a true pedal assist. It's torque activated. So you know, the harder you pedal, the more power it gives you. You can control a level up here on the display, and the controls are right here. But that combination gives you almost seamless operation. So this allows you, I'm just turning it on here so you guys can see, but you have a plus and minus. This right here indicates the level of assist, and I'm just increasing the level, and you can do that while you're riding. And we're guessing with a fairing, you're probably going to get 40 to 45, maybe 50 miles out of it. It's a 14 amp battery, so it is fairly large. We had to do a little bit of work with the design to fit the battery clearance here. And this may be refined a little to give us a little bit more, but this is also a side entry battery, which it goes off the side of the chain, but that's not a big deal taking it in or out. So that's the Phoenix 406, just kind of a rough overview.
New Age Bike Works, yeah. Okay, there's the e-Phoenix 406. Jonathan Garcia at Rose City Recumbent Cycles. That's who you need to contact. I've got a couple questions here. Mark Feldman's asking the availability and pricing, so you can contact Jonathan there. I'll have the links below for him, or contact Rand's Bikes as well, and they'll be able to help you out there. So, all right, let me see. Let's move on to our team reviews. And we have Tim Siegert from Bent Revolution down in Florida, Odessa, Florida. He has reviewed the HP Velotechnic FS Scorpion 20 SE. I think you're going to enjoy this. Let's take a look, Larry, at the Scorpion.
Hey guys, it's Tim from Bent Revolution in Odessa, Florida, and today I'm going to take a look at the HP Velotechnic FS20 SE for the laid-back bike report. Let's go.
This one is loaded. Pretty much every option you can have. There's a few things it doesn't have, but it's got most things. So let's start right at the front. In the front of the bike, you'll see that it's got the Shimano Steps drive. That's controlled by this panel back here. It's a really great system. It gives you up to 20 miles per hour, and it gives you about a 70-mile range, probably a little bit more in Florida because it's flat, but it's a terrific system. You can put a headlight, have it wired. This one has a wired headlight and taillight. I don't know if you can see that, but so my hand is turning red. So you can see there's a taillight back there. Like I said, it's got pretty much everything going for it. It's got the optional mirror. It's got fenders. It's got wrist rest, parking brake, dual locking brakes, water bottles, an air shock, headrest, I think I may have mentioned that, rack, and a frame lock. So let's start with just the basics. This one has an 11-speed DI2 shifting system. So what that means is the derailleur back here is electronically controlled by the step system. So what that means is there's really no hesitation when you shift it. It just goes right to it, and it's all electronic, so you know it's not going to have any cable stretch because there is no cable. It's all electronic, and it fires very quickly up and down the gear set to give you the right range. While we're in the back here, we'll talk about this. Has a high capacity battery, so that gives you a really long riding time, 70 or more miles probably. In the front, there's a standard McPherson strut like HP uses in their other bikes, and you can see it has both an elastomer as well as a coil and a spring. So it really gives you a lot of travel. Of course, I can't really give it a, I'm too weak. I can't really give it a great compression, but you get a lot of travel with this, so it's really a nice suspension system. I think it's probably the best suspension system that you can get on a bike. In the back, there's an air shock. This is a RockShox Air Shock. And the way this works is you actually sit on the bike, and it'll determine how much you weigh, believe it or not, and it'll tell you how much pressure to put in the shock to counteract that. So it's adjustable for people of all sizes. This may be just the best bike you can get. If you're looking for a suspension bike, this may be the one to get. The HP Velotechnic FS20 has a weight limit of 285 pounds. So if you're above that, you may want to consider the FS26, which has a 325 pound weight limit. That gives you a little bit more room to work with if you're a larger person. I suppose the next thing we should do is take it for a ride. The great thing about this cassette is that it's got a massive range. It's got a very small high gear down here and a very large low gear. So even though you have just the one set of gears, it's got such a big range that you really won't need anything more than that. And with the pedal assist, it really takes all the guesswork out of it. You just put it in a comfortable gear and pedals. Just a flick of the button and it goes right up or right down. So the bike folds in half, so the seat is adjustable. There's three points of adjustment, as with all HP bikes: the back, the middle, and the front. So that gives you some room to adjust it, although the back is gonna stay straight. So if you want adjustments here, you need to get the premium seat. And that premium seat is, I think, $220 more for this bike if you order it new. I hope you enjoyed this video, and if you did, be sure to hit that like button, hit the bell button, subscribe, and check us out at bentrevolution.com, or come visit us right here in Odessa, Florida. Thanks.
Okay, Tim Seeger, thank you so much. Yeah, you guys should follow him on YouTube as well. He makes great videos. He'll continue to do more reviews for the Laidback Bike Report, we are proud to say, and look into that HP Velotechnic Scorpion if you are interested. We do have a slide. Larry, can you hit that? You know, we had the question about the pricing and availability on the e-Phoenix, so I do have the shot from HP Velotechnic here on pricing on the base configuration and some of the add-ons you can see there. Just very basically, again, you can contact Tim or any HP dealer here in the country or right online at the website HP Velotechnic to find out more information on that particular trike. All right, let's see Nina's intro here. We're gonna have it right now. Okay, so Nina's put together a couple of amazing short videos I think you're going to really enjoy. Nina, let's have a look at one at a time, and we'll have a little discussion and have you tell us your thoughts after each, if that's okay. All right, Larry, let's see the seat fix video.
My Haunted Tire Rush has a brand new fabric seat back. This was made by BJ of HD Sewing, also known as recumbentseatfix.weebly.com. And it's just a replacement for the standard Easy Racer seat back. I emailed him my seat's measurements, and he sent me the sewn fabric with some
markings for the holes. I burnt the holes out myself using a soldering iron. I supplied my own Kevlar cord, and it's working great. It's just what I wanted. It's an easy racer seat back, but it's brand new instead of being stretched out and faded and developing holes. So, highly recommend a new seat back. If you need one, you can get one from HD Sewing.
Okay, great. Now, Nina, I have a question that actually Trey asked me about. He was concerned about the holes that you burned in there and that maybe you needed grommets or something to protect those holes. What did you consider that, or you think they're okay the way they are?
Well, if you look at an Easy Racer seat back, it's exactly the same. They don't have grommets. The burning of the holes melts the material, so it doesn't fray or unravel.
Shouldn't fray out of there. Okay. Yeah. All right. Good. And okay. And any other comments you have on that? You recommended it clearly. So, and you've been waiting for a little while, I know, to get that done.
Yeah, I know. I think I've ridden 250 miles on it so far, and it's just holding up great. It's just like having a brand new seat back, and you can't really get them from Easy Racers now.
You're not going to Easy Racers to get a replacement for sure. So good deal. All right, Larry, let's have a look at the sunblock video. This is great.
It's spring in the Northern Hemisphere, and that means more sun exposure, and that means sunblock. Sunblock is disgusting, and I hate it. You can't even spell sunblock without suck. Most sunblocks are lotions, which need to be applied with the hands. At the start of a ride, my hands are clean, but mid-ride, when I have to reapply, my hands are sweaty and dirty. If I've been hiking, I may have accidentally touched some poison ivy. The last thing I want to do is smear whatever is on my hands all over my face and limbs. Even worse, there is always some sunblock left on my palms and fingertips. This inevitably gets transferred to my handlebars, leaving them sticky and smelling like a Walmart executive's idea of coconut. Sunblocks can be very hard to remove, not just from handlebars, but from skin itself. Waterproof sounds like a feature until you find sticky film clinging to you even after vigorous scrubbing. You can try removing it with lava soap or sandpaper, but I have finally discovered a better solution. Yes, after years of sunblock trials and errors, I now have a system that blocks sun, doesn't get on my palms and handlebars, and doesn't make me smell like a sorority on spring break. What's my secret? First, I use a zinc oxide stick. This Neutrogena Sheer Zinc Mineral Sunscreen Stick is 21% zinc oxide suspended in waxy emollients. It's unscented, which I love. You can apply it right from the stick and never have to touch it with your fingers or palms. However, it's harder to remove than any other sunblock I've ever used. For that reason, I eschewed it last year in favor of a smelly lotion because I didn't yet know the full secret to sunblock success, which is removing sunblock with oil. Before you shower, put some oil on a paper towel and wipe that nasty waterproof crud off. If you're like me, you've probably accumulated a layer of road dirt on top of the sunblock, so first wipe that off with a dry paper towel. Any oil will do. Vegetable oil, mineral oil, olive oil. I haven't yet tried bike chain oil, but I would if I had to. After you've wiped with oil, you'll have some oil residue on your skin. This comes off easily and thoroughly with soap and water. So wipe with oil first and then take a shower. You'll emerge with clean, happy, unburnt skin. Now that I know the magic oil wipe trick, I can use my favorite zinc sunblock stick with impunity. There's still some suck in my sunblock, but a lot less than before.
Very good. All right. So, you know, sunscreen, sunblock, you know, you wear glasses or sunglasses or it gets in your eyes. There's so many, you know, it is problematic. And yet, you know, we have to wear it. So you're pretty satisfied with this Neutrogena product.
Yeah, it just, you know, it's just a stick. Put it on, doesn't smell. I was riding early this morning and a friend of mine put on sunblock and it smelled like a sorority on spring break. So it made me, you know, reminded me how glad I am to have this unscented stuff.
All right. Well, good advice there, Nina. I think a lot of our viewers will follow that. Everyone's got issues with sunscreen. So thank you. Well done, of course. That was very entertaining as well. We appreciate that. And guys, I think we're going to wrap it up here and talk about the sponsors of the Laid Back Bike Report. First of all, there's TerraCycle. From fairings to headrests, whatever accessory you need, Pat and crew have you covered. And Trailside Trikes. If you find yourself in Florida near the Withlacoochee Trail or in Knoxville, Tennessee, check out Andrew's shop and amazing crew. And Cruise Bike. Their patented race and record-proven front-wheel drive geometry changes the rules of cycling. Now, comfort doesn't come at the cost of performance, but fair warning, your cheeks may hurt from smiling. And TerraTrike and Greenspeed. Your vision, whatever it is, TerraTrike has a trike to take you there. And Greenspeed cutting-edge designs create performance through Aussie ingenuity. And Laidback Cycles, the top USA dealer for TerraTrike and the premier source for CatTrike, Ice, and Greenspeed. We give you the freedom to ride. And Recumbent CycleCon. Please join us at the 2021 Recumbent CycleCon trade show and convention. It will be held October 9th, 10th at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Dayton, Ohio. More info at recumbentcyclecon.com. All right, folks. So what about the next Laidback Bike Report? We are going to be back with you on June the 6th at 2 p.m. our regular time, Eastern time. We're going to talk with our buddy Marco Ruga from Italy, who is an amazing recumbent builder. And he's got an unusual build this time to share with us. It's going to be a long wheelbase off-road build. And so he'll tell us about what's going on with that. Of course, we'll have all our reviews. We'll have a bunch of other stuff as well. So join us on June 6th, if you would. How can you support the Laidback Bike Report? Well, you can like us on Facebook, subscribe to us here on YouTube, and you can learn a lot more about us by clicking on that little white eye up there, which will take you to the Laidback Bike Report website. You can hit the applause button down over here. Of course, you can give us a thumbs up or thumbs down, depending on where you'd like to go with that. So we appreciate all of your contributions there. Now, if you want to help us out financially, you can go to patreon.com. You can look up the Laidback Bike Report there, and you can support us for as little as a dollar a month. These folks have done so. We've added a couple of new Patreons this month. I want to thank Jeff Moore and Martin Nunzert for becoming Patreons. And it really helps us out, folks, to continue doing what we do. So thanks, guys. All right, let's bring everybody on stage for our goodbyes and thank yous here. Great show, guys. Appreciate all of your thoughts on some really interesting and important subjects that we talked about today. So here we go. I thought there's Peter, Doug. Good. You're all back with us. So, yeah, guys, thank you so much for helping me out today. It was great having you all, and we'll look forward to seeing you all on June 6th for the next Laidback Bike Report. Have a good one there, guys. And, guys, I want to thank you all for watching the Laidback Bike Report again this month. So until our next show, from all of us here at the Laidback Bike Report, so long, Bent Riders.